We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Obviously, the first play was a big one. After that, coming back, just taking some short stuff. And then from there, it was trying to read what they threw at us. And they threw a lot of different looks and blitzes at us. So I thought Randy called a great game, and I thought the players made plays. And you know, when you convert third downs, you're scoring in the red zone, good things happen. And it always starts up front. You can say what you want about the skill guys, but we're nothing without those guys up front. They've been playing really, really good football.
The voice of Ben Roethlisberger, the guy that produced a perfect passer rating last night, had five touchdowns and only three incompletions. Let's go out to the fan hotline, brought to you by Wright Automotive, the best deal in town. He is our NFL insider, claytonfootball.com. Go there, get a subscription, make yourself smarter. It's Hall of Fame football writer and Braddock's own John Clayton. John, last night during the game, I saw you tweet, "This is the best I've ever seen Ben Roethlisberger play, but I'm not surprised." Expand on those thoughts, if you could.
Well, because, I mean, what you can see is that all that talk, which is, now, again, it was realistic talk about being a 30-point offense, and that it has been there. But what I'm seeing right now, and I don't know, it's a matter, is it the change in offensive coordinators? Is it whatever it is? It's working so well because, I mean, he's so much more in command. And he's always been in command, but he looks so much more efficient in what he's doing. I don't know if it's a matter that, you know, he came in such great shape. He's got a fresh look on it. I think he has more control over the offense. I mean, heck, I mean, right now, I would bet you to say if they're on the 1 yard line and he wanted to audible to a sneak, he might be allowed to do that. But whatever it is, I mean, there's more of a comfort level that he has right now that makes him look so much more efficient. And again, yeah, we're talking about a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback now playing at his best level. Maybe what it can be, too, is the way this game has changed. You know, now that you can send more guys in the middle of the field to catch passes because of the defenseless receiver rule, maybe it's because, you know, they're so much more reliant on quickness to beat the cornerbacks. Whatever it is, I mean, Ben to me looks like at a great comfort level.
John, what? Just to build off of that for a second, I feel like when I look at Vance McDonald, I'm looking at arguably the most talented pass catcher, including Heath Miller, as good as Heath Miller was, that they've had at that position in a very long time here. One, do you agree with that sentiment about McDonald, his actual talent ceiling? And two, do you think that his emergence has been another kind of element in Ben playing this well?
Yeah, I think it helps because I think I wouldn't put him anywhere close to Heath. I think Heath was so much better. And, you know, I remember, you know, watching Vance because obviously I'd see him in Seahawks games twice a year, and then, of course, I'd catch him in San Francisco games and all that stuff. I always thought that Luke Wilson, who's now in Detroit, came out of the same school, and Luke was the one that basically they gave Vance the potential to, you know, take away playing time because they thought he could catch the ball, and then he ended up going higher in the draft. And so I thought that Luke was better, at least, and I say was better than Vance because Vance really never caught on fully with the 49ers. Maybe it's the comfort level of getting the opportunity this year and getting a chance to advance because clearly the Rice coaches thought he was going to be better than Luke Wilson, who ended up being a mid-round draft choice. They put 49ers took him in the second round. And now what I think you're seeing is that that potential is starting to be realized. And I think what it also shows is that Ben is so much better when he has a good pass-catching tight end. So again, Heath Miller, no, but Vance looks good right now.
The Steelers beat the Panthers 52-21 last night, the highest scoring output by a team this NFL season, 52 points, the most points scored by a team in Heinz Field history. John, other than Roethlisberger, in your opinion, what was the most impressive facet or part of the Steelers' blowout win last night?
Well, how they just took apart the two-tackle situation that's there because you know, what they did is they exposed something that hasn't been exposed all year for the Carolina Panthers. I mean, you know, you go in and your two starting tackles are on injured reserve. You're still waiting for them to come back. And, of course, now you can see what the Steelers did is they took advantage of that and really pounded Cam Newton and took him out of his game. I thought that was the most impressive thing that I saw. Again, you take opportunities and take advantage of them, and that's exactly what they did. But the thing that's interesting, other teams haven't done that. And what other teams have done is that they allow Cam to kind of run over them, get his 8 to 10 carries a game, get his efficiency up there. North Turner's been calling great football for him. But I think you can also see when you have a team that kind of relies on the run, although again they don't rely on it as much as they did before with Jonathan Stewart and D'Angelo Williams, but they because Christian McCaffrey's not that type of a back. But when you rely so much on that, then you're not going to be a team that's going to come back. And if you're not going to be the team that's going to come back as well, then you can have a Steeler team just keep putting the pressure on and putting Cam Newton on the ground.
John Clayton joining us as he does every Friday at 4 o'clock here. Check out claytonfootball.com. Great site. I'm a subscriber. Tons of knowledge there from a lot of different angles and sources. John, where do you rank the Steelers right now in the AFC hierarchy, in the NFL hierarchy, and did what they did to Carolina last night change at all your long-range perception of them?
No, it didn't change it. I think they're starting to realize the perception, because I've gone into the last three or four seasons thinking, all right, New England's number one and Pittsburgh's number two. All right, so all of a sudden, here's Patrick Mahomes as the MVP of the league in the first half of the season, putting up potential numbers that can get you 52 touchdown passes. They go into the number one role, and then you still have New England in there. And right now, I have the Chargers a little ahead of the Steelers. So I would have the Chargers number three, and of course it's great that they're going to be playing each other, and then the Steelers number four. But I think you can see the Steelers are now starting to catch up. And if that defense can play like it did last night, and in other, the way it's kind of picked up its game, and the offense continue to score 30 points, then I think it has a chance to maybe, catch or pass the Chargers. I just saw the Chargers in person and worked the Chargers sidelines last week, and that's a good team. I mean, I was amazed. If you look at this, the Seahawks injury list. Now, remember, this is a team that was coming off a bye week and then went out there with hardly any injuries, and they got a dozen players on the team right now, either limited, did not play, or going to be questionable. That tells me that's a physical team. So I have the Chargers as number three, slightly ahead of the Steelers, but the Steelers catching up.
You can follow us on Twitter at 93.7 The Fan, driven by Shorkey Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. You can follow John on Twitter at John Clayton NFL. John, Art Rooney II's comments to Sirius NFL Radio on Le'Veon Bell saying, we expect him to be there on Tuesday. When he shows up, what should the Steelers do with Le'Veon Bell?
And this one I don't know the rules on. I mean, at least I'm not trying to be the agent or Le'Veon and say I don't know the total rules. But I don't know if you can put – I mean, you have the two-week exemption, but if they can get away without paying him for 2 weeks – I think that's probably the smart thing to do. You have now, again, this depends on James Conner. If he's hurt, that readjusts things. But because then they're going to need Le'Veon Bell. But what I would do is I would probably see if you can get away with two less paychecks, because, again, they have the exempt list. But I don't know the rules as far as if you're there for the last six games, if you have to at least pay him for the six. I mean, you can pay him for four. But that's what I would do, because, again, I think you can see that he is going to cause, I think, some internal problems. The offensive line's not going to be happy with him. And you can also see he's not going to be happy, because I don't think they're going to give the ball to him, because I think they're going to keep James Conner out there, as they should. James Conner has at least got this team off to the start that it has, and it's been solid every week. But if I was them, if you can get away with it, and again, we all know that he has to come in, because if he doesn't come in and doesn't get paid the rest of the year, they can just put the transition tag on him at $9 million, wait for somebody to sign him, and see if they can work out some kind of a trade.
John, I'm going to circle back all the way to what we started talking about here about Ben Roethlisberger and connect it to what you just said about Le'Veon Bell. Assuming Connor's healthy and everything's good, has the fact that Connor is a more kind of defined player, he's a downhill runner, he's a hit-the-hole guy, we've seen him make moves, and we've seen him catch passes pretty much out of the backfield exclusively, not splitting out wide or anything. Has that helped Ben Roethlisberger, you think, as well, that that's sort of a defined position, as much as we love Bell's versatility, that knowing what Connor is all about has actually made Ben's life easier?
No, I don't think so. I think Bell makes his life easier because he can do more things. I mean, he's the better back. I mean, as good as Connor is, and I know that Wink Martindale might not agree with me, but Bell is still the better running back. I mean, he's one of the top two or three running backs in the league. He was top until Todd Gurley emerged, and so you still have to go with that. I know the numbers are the same and all that stuff, but no, I think that Bell gives more things that Ben can use because he is better catching the ball out of the backfield. He is such a threat. He is such a unique runner. And so I don't think that's a factor at all. I just think what the factor is that the way this offense is clicking and the way that Ben's playing in it, it just all goes. But I think you can see the importance of the running back because I would imagine, you know, once Bell leaves, and you know he's not going to be there next year, is that the next mission is to use a third, fourth, maybe fifth round pick to find a pass-catching running back who can be in the mix as a backup to kind of give a little bit of a balance there. And that's not to take plays away from Connor. It's just to give that other option. But I think what you can see is that what Connor has done is carried this running game through this season so far and then set it up that now you know there's a procession after what comes from Le'Veon Bell.
John, so one of the things that Mike Tomlin said almost immediately after that game was over in his press conference remarks was, we're probably not this good. And then Ron Rivera, the losing coach on the end of that drubbing, basically said bleep happens when describing the outcome of the game. And we kind of inferred that maybe they both think that on Thursday night you don't draw as much because it's a short week, it's a weird week. Do you take less stock or put a little bit less stock because of the unusual nature of it in terms of Thursday night results and kind of what to extrapolate for each team?
Yeah, because I mean, let's put it this way. I mean, the Panthers are either the third or fourth best team in the NFC, and so I don't think the third or fourth best team in a talented conference, particularly that has a quarterback, is a 31-point underdog compared to the Steelers. Yeah, I think it is something where stuff happens, and you're right; they're not 31 points better than the Carolina Panthers. I do think the Monday night, the Thursday night factor is a big one. I mean, what the Thursday night teams on the road are 2-8. The short week of preparation does hurt you. And then, of course, you don't know what internal injuries or kind of the banged up guys are going to be able to respond. But I think the one thing that I think you have to give Mike Tomlin credit for, and certainly Keith Butler credit for, is that they figured out ways to take advantage of the tackle situation that's there and the offensive line situation was there and really expose it. And, of course, you know, sometimes, again, when certain type of games for certain type of teams aren't going to work out. I mean, for example, if you're the Washington Redskins, and this is before the three injuries to the offensive line, you know, they don't have an offense that's geared up to make great comebacks. They're there to try to run the football, and so they're kind of like a Big Ten team in some sense in the old days that you know, they're not great for the comebacks. But what you can see is that the Carolina Panthers aren't great for the comebacks. They're great to impose their will, take the lead, and go downhill as the game goes on. So, no, I just think it was one of those games that just slips away. And just like Ron Rivera said, I mean, he's been in the league 30 years. He's had it happen with teams he's on and with teams he's playing against. So it's just one game that just kind of slipped. But, you know, I think what it does show that the Steelers are a better team than the Panthers.
John, do you think Mike Munchak will be a hot name in the head coaching market this offseason?
I think he'll get some interviews. I don't know if you would call him a hot name. I mean, the hot names, although here's where the problem's going to be coming, because I think you can see the model of what owners want is Sean McVay. They want, or Doug Peterson, they want an offensive play caller. There's 13 offensive play calling head coaches in the league who can assemble a great young staff that can work with the quarterback and do things like that. You know, and so that's the first choice. Now, the problem is how many guys are going to be like that? I mean, maybe Matt LaFleur, who's down in Tennessee, if he can get that offense cranked up. Certainly Mike DiFilippo with the Minnesota Vikings. They're going to be at the front of the list. And then the next list is either going to be you know, some college coaches. You know, Lincoln Riley might be in that mix. The Iowa State coach might be in that mix. And then you start to get to either the, you know, the veteran type coaches like Munchak and the defensive coaches. That's why I think that, you know, there's no question in my mind that Mike Munchak will get at least two interviews.
John Clayton, what a treat to talk to him every Friday at 4 o'clock. Check him out, claytonfootball.com, on Twitter at John Clayton NFL. Thank you, John. Appreciate
Thanks,
John. It, man.
Hey, thank you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.